This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
and GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we profile the amazing, jaw-dropping scientific discoveries which are revolutionizing our world and touching our lives. And today, once again, we're going to talk about the coronavirus, but from a different point of view. We're going to be talking to a naturalist who actually predicted the current pandemic which is gripping the entire planet. We have with us Dr. David Quammen, author of a book with an astonishing title, Spillover, Animal Infections and the Next Human Pandemic. And in January of this year, just as the epidemic was taking off, he wrote a very influential op-ed piece for the New York Times with the provocative title, We Made the Coronavirus Epidemic. It may have started with a bat in a cave, but human activity set it loose. Our special guest today is David Quammen, author of a number of great books, including Song of the Dodo, including his latest book, The Tangled Tree, A Radical New History of Life, also The Reluctant Mr. Darwin, and his latest book with the provocative title, Spillover, Animal Infections and the Next Human Pandemic. So the first question for you, David, is how did you as a youth first get interested in being a novelist, a naturalist, and also a journalist writing for National Geographic?
Well, thank you, Dr. Kaku. It's good to be with you. I grew up in Cincinnati, and as a kid, I was always interested in two things, the natural world and writing. I used to write poems and stories and things, probably beginning the age of 12, but I was also spending a lot of time in the forest near my house. And then I had some great English teachers and I had some good biology teachers, so I spent my academic career on the literature side and then circled back around to, once I became a freelance writer, to writing as much as possible about the natural world, about evolutionary biology, ecology, and conservation.
Okay, well, in 2014, you wrote a book with the outrageous title, Spillover, Animal Infections and the Next Human Pandemic. So how did you make that prediction with an outrageous title, the prediction that there will be a new pandemic?
Right. Well, 10 years ago, I was talking to some very smart scientists. I was listening to the experts in infectious disease science, and I reported what they told me. And essentially what they told me, it's sort of a consensus combination of the things that they told me 10 years ago when I asked them, will there be a next big one, a next big pandemic? Essentially what they said was this: yes, there will be a next big one. It'll be caused by a virus, a new virus coming to us from animals, some kind of a wild animal. What kind of an animal? Well, possibly a bat. What kind of a virus? Well, one that evolves quickly, possibly an influenza virus or a coronavirus. How would this spillover from the animal into humans happen? Well, by human contact with wild animals. Oh, for instance, in a wet market selling wildlife for food. Where might that be? Oh, well, for instance, in China. So all of that was there, not because I was prescient, but because I was listening to these scientists, and I reported what was very clear to them at the time, if not clear to other people and to political leaders.
Now, in China, there's something called polyfarming, which is also found throughout Asia, where farmers live in very close proximity to birds and pigs. The pigs eat the duck droppings, and humans eat the pigs. And the pigs act as a mixing bowl for RNA and DNA, and that's where the flu virus comes from in the main. That's why we have the Asian flu, the Hong Kong flu, the Shanghai flu. And so in some sense, isn't that the price that we humans pay for our interaction and even trespassing on the ancient territorial grounds of animals? What are your thoughts?
You're absolutely right. That is where the influenza viruses generally come. Influenza viruses have their natural host reservoirs in wild aquatic birds. And that's the step that you didn't mention, but it's part of that whole sequence. Wild aquatic birds fly in. They leave their feces in the same rice paddies or ponds where domestic poultry are dabbling, ducks and chickens. Ducks and chickens come back to the village house at the end of a day, and they may be housed underneath the house or in a pen near pigs, and the pigs are an opportunity for one form of influenza virus to reassort with the genome of another form and come out as a new form of influenza that may be highly infectious in humans. So it is our interactions with the natural world, both destroying extremely diverse wild habitats, coming in contact with wild animals like bats and like pangolins and monkeys and rodents, creatures that carry their own viruses, and as we engage in animal husbandry, as we both on factory farms where there are huge aggregations of pigs, for instance, being raised, or in these smaller operations, as you described, family husbandry that involves poultry and pigs and the chance of picking up infections from them. It's our interactions with the natural world and the disruptive scale of our interactions increasingly, now that there are 7.7 billion of us, that give these new viruses the opportunity to become human viruses.
And you also quote in your influential article in the New York Times, quote, "We made the coronavirus epidemic." You quote from the work of a Chinese scientist, Dr. Zhenli Shi, who actually spends time in the caves of Yan'an collecting bat feces. So could you explain to us the link between Yan'an caves, bat feces, and the coronavirus pandemic?
Yes, Dr. Zhenli Shi, as you said, she is at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and she studies viruses and their natural reservoirs, bats and other creatures. And she and her colleagues in 2015 were sampling bats, not just collecting feces, but also taking blood samples from bats, particularly horseshoe bats, in caves in Yunnan province, 1,000 miles from Wuhan, and they found a great diversity of coronaviruses living in bats, and they warned about it in papers published, including one in 2017. And in that paper, they said, well, we found a great diversity of coronaviruses. This should be a concern, and particularly so because some of these coronaviruses have the capacity to become human viruses. Why? Well, in particular, because they have the capacity to enter cells by grabbing onto ACE2 receptors on the outsides of cells. That's what the virus grabs onto and then manages to send its genome into the cell and replicate, and that begins a whole chain of transmission. But Dr. Shi's group was saying, look, there's a particular coronavirus that has this capacity, and they sequenced the genome, and 3 years later, 3 years after that 2017 paper where they published this genome, that very virus is the one that we now know as the causal agent of COVID-19. So they warned 3 years ago, here is a virus in bats, could be dangerous in humans, and now it's with us.
Okay, well, the original story coming from China was that perhaps it was the wet market which sells exotic... Whoops, let's take a short commercial break and let's get right back to the coronavirus epidemic with David Quammen. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. And if you want to get on the air and ask a question on 100 radio stations, give us a call at 612-564-8135, and maybe you can get on Science Fantastic.
Pandavite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
Hypertension runs in my family, unfortunately. I started having problems a number of years ago, and I had heard the commercials a number of times, and I personally do not like the idea of being on medication. Even though I'm a physician, you would think, you know, that's our thing, but we just don't like it. So I figured, you know, I'll start the product, and I did, and I got to tell you, it does help. By the grace of God and that product, you know, my labs come back really good all the time, right on the money. I used to always have like cold toes in the winter time, and I used to love going down to Florida for my medical conferences. But since I've been taking the product regularly, I don't have that problem anymore. You got a great product there, Don, and I just wanted to tell you how appreciative I am. Thank you so much.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is David Quammen, author of a book with the outrageous title, Spillover, Animal Infections and the Next Human Pandemic. Dated 2014, 6 years before the entire planet has been gripped by the coronavirus. Oh, and also, by the way, if you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. And I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. My latest bestseller is called The Future of Humanity, talking about humans as we explore the moon, Mars, and beyond. But today we're going to go right back to the planet Earth and talk about the origin of the coronavirus. In previous Science Fantastic shows, we talked about some of the biochemistry of the virus, but let's not talk about, well, are we in some sense responsible for releasing some of these ancient viruses that hop over from animals to humans? Well, when we last left off, we were talking about Yunnan, the fact that Dr. Zhenli Shi, the Hunan Institute of Virology, they were actually in some sense sounding the alarm years ago that there was a potential hotspot there, right?
That's correct, yes. Great diversity of coronaviruses in these bats that they were studying in caves in Yunnan province and elsewhere.
Now, there's some controversy now because some people claim that the wet markets, which sell exotic animals to the public, never really worked with the horseshoe bass at all. That the only horseshoe bass in the entire Hunan area was at two virology institutes, one of which was at biosafety level 2, very low, another one at biosafety level 4, which is the maximum biosafety level, and some people say that perhaps it escaped, either intentionally or accidentally, from the institute. But what are your thoughts?
Well, we hear stories that, yes, this is not a wild bat virus. This is something that came out of a laboratory. But that's very easy to prove or disprove based on molecular evidence, the genomes of these viruses. And I have seen a paper, among others, published in Nature Medicine, January. The first author is Christian Andersen, A-N-D-E-R-S-E-N, on the origins of the virus, and they say, based on the molecular evidence, that this virus is a near-identical match to the virus found in these wild bats in caves, such as the ones that Dr. Shi has studied in Yunnan. But there is another part of the story, which I'll just mention briefly, and that is that although people say, oh, this outbreak began in the Huanan wholesale seafood market, in fact, the first 41 cases, only 27 were directly associated with that seafood market. And there were earlier cases that had occurred in the city of Wuhan that seemed to have reflected the virus coming from bats but infecting people outside the market. In other words, it's possible that a person had captured bats and was bringing them either to that market or to another market, became infected, and that the virus was circulating in the city of Wuhan, naturally derived, but circulating quietly earlier than we thought, as early as November of last year.
Uh-huh. Now, also, your book is quite prophetic in the sense that you talk not just about the coronavirus, but you talk about diseases in general. Some people say that up to 60% of diseases originate from the animal kingdom, and as we encroach and trespass on the ancient grounds of these viruses and bacteria, some of them jump out. Let's talk about, for example, HIV. We were shocked when the HIV virus jumped out of nowhere, but some people say that it actually comes from the animal kingdom, from SIV. Could you elaborate?
Yes, and I have a long chapter devoted to the ecological origins of the AIDS pandemic in the book. But very briefly, what we know now from good molecular evidence, work done by a group led by Beatrice Hahn, another group led by Michael Warby at the University of Arizona, we know that although we started hearing about this strange disease in 1980, 1981, it was in humans longer than that. And in fact, it is the human spillover of a chimpanzee disease, a chimpanzee virus, SIV chimp, that spilled over from a single chimpanzee into a single human in the southeastern corner of Cameroon in Central Africa back around 1908, give or take a margin of error. Again, this is all from very solid molecular evidence. And then the virus seems to have transmitted slowly at first among individuals and worked its way in people down the rivers systems from southeastern Cameroon to the big Congo River and then to the cities of what was then Leopoldville, capital of the Belgian Congo, and Brazzaville, capital of French Congo. And in those cities, it replicated more and more efficiently over time, infecting more and more people, and eventually jumped from those cities to the rest of the world. A complicated story, but very counterintuitive, very different from what most people think they know about the origins of the AIDS pandemic.
So some people are saying that some of these diseases are actually quite ancient, older than humanity, in fact. And they've been infecting animals for millions of years, and one day they mutate as humans trespass on their home territory, and the mutant version then jumps to humans and creates these horrible pandemics. So in some sense, we are, quote, responsible in some sense for some of these epidemics, right?
Well, we are, yes. And as you say, roughly 60% of human infectious diseases have animal origins in an immediate historical sense. And that includes things like bubonic plague, which is caused by a bacterium, and all these viral diseases, Ebola, HIV, the influenzas, some other lesser known that I talk about in my book, the coronaviruses, including SARS in 2003, coming from animals. Humans have always interacted with animals. We've always been taking animals for food, but never so, never on the scale that we're doing it now. Never before with 7.7 billion humans making demands on the natural world, not just in terms of wildlife to eat, but timber and minerals, mining, energy. All of the choices that we make about what we consume, how many children we have, how much we travel, these put pressure on the natural world and bring the viruses that live in all wild animals and have lived in some of them for millions of years, bringing those viruses closer to us, giving them the opportunity to jump across and then spread throughout humanity.
And also the SARS epidemic, which was eventually contained, fortunately. Mm-hmm. Some people compare the coronavirus to the SARS epidemic and say that, well, the SARS epidemic was also started by a bat, another crossover from the animal kingdom, right?
That's right, yes. The SARS virus, the original SARS virus, what we now call SARS-1, this being SARS-2, was traced to also to a bat in southern China. And it spilled over from a bat, got into people, and then spread from Hong Kong around the world. But we stopped it, as you said. We were lucky. We stopped it with only 8,000 cases and 774 deaths. It was a different kind of virus, not quite as not as transmissible as this one, although quite lethal.
And by the way, some people think that maybe we underestimated the ferocity of the coronavirus because we thought it was like SARS, but it's actually the coronavirus is much more infectious and much more lethal than SARS, right?
SARS had a case fatality rate of about 10%. We're seeing high case fatality rates now in Italy, in Spain, in the Netherlands, up around 13%, which is devastating. In the rest of the world, it is so far lower than that. I think in the U.S. now it's running at about 5%, which is still half as lethal as SARS. But what makes this virus really dangerous is this aspect of silent transmission, cryptic transmission. People who don't feel symptoms, walking around, interacting with other people, and yet shedding virus.
That's okay, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you're listening to David Klaman, author of the book Spillover, Animal Infections and the Next Human Pandemic. And you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call if you want to get on 100 radio stations. The number to call is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on Science Fantastic.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
The death toll from the coronavirus in the U.S. passed 50,000, accounting for more than 25% of COVID-19 deaths globally, according to the latest numbers from Johns Hopkins University. More than 2.7 million COVID-19 cases have been confirmed worldwide, with over 880,000 of them in the U.S. And it appears COVID-19 is spreading quickly in some places that are planning to ease social distancing restrictions soon, according to a new study by the Dartmouth Institute in Lebanon, New Hampshire. The data also shows that COVID-19 cases are growing more rapidly in places that had not been as heavily hit as New York City, Seattle, San Francisco, and the early hotspots. Dr. Elliot Fisher, a professor at the Dartmouth Institute, said the growth rates are the highest now in the Midwest and the South. This is USA Radio News.
Pentagon spokesman Jonathan Hoffman says the Navy hospital ship Comfort will be returning to its home port in Norfolk, Virginia.
After more than 3 weeks, the USNS Comfort will be leaving New York City, although I do not have an updated date of departure for you today. This is a sure sign of modest progress in mitigating the virus in the nation's hardest-hit city and is a welcome sign.
The vessel was deployed to help hospitals in New York City. A new poll from Rasmussen Reports shows widespread support for President Trump's newly signed executive order that bans immigration into the United States for 60 days. The order applies for those only seeking permanent residence in the United States and foreign nationals seeking a green card who are outside the United States. 57% of U.S. voters say a halt to immigration is important because of the economic impact due to the coronavirus. Meanwhile, 31% are opposed and 13% undecided. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, we have with us on the line is David Quammen, author of the book Spillover, Animal Infections and the Next Human Pandemic, a book which actually predicted the current pandemic gripping the entire planet Earth. We should also mention that he's the author of a number of great books, including The Reluctant Mr. Darwin, Song of the Dodo, and his latest book is called The Tangled Tree, A Radical New History of Life. He works with National Geographic. He's also a novelist as well as a journalist and a naturalist. So, when you wrote this op-ed piece for the New York Times, dated January 28, 2020, it sounds like a lifetime ago, January 28, but at that point, things were just taking off. When you wrote that op-ed article in the New York Times with the title, We Made the Coronavirus, did you have any inkling that it would then spread throughout the entire planet, affecting millions of people?
Yes, I had exactly that inkling, and that's why I was concerned to write that op-ed. And the editors of the New York Times were kind enough to trust me on that. They wanted the op-ed because they recognized there was a possibility. But the fact that this was a coronavirus with respiratory transmission rang loud alarm bells for me, because that's one of the kinds of viruses that scientists had warned me about 10 years earlier when I was researching my book. So everything that has happened has been unsurprising, except the degree to which governments of the world have been unprepared to deal with this situation. That is the surprising part to me.
Okay, now let's go through some of the other diseases mentioned in your book, not just HIV and SARS. You also mentioned Ebola. So where did the Ebola come from, and compare it to the coronavirus?
Mm-hmm. Well, Ebola is a very dramatic disease, and people have heard things about it, some of which are exaggerated, but it is a very lethal virus. It resides in some kind of an animal in Central and Western Africa, and occasionally spills out of that mystery animal and gets into humans, causes terrible disease, in some cases bloody, but not in all cases bloody. It is not transmitted to any discernible degree through the air. It's not a respiratory virus. It's a virus that attacks the internal organs, and it's spread by bodily fluids. It's spread in blood and diarrhea and any sort of bodily fluid by direct contact. So it doesn't transmit around the world as well as this sort of a virus. It doesn't ride airplanes nearly as well as this virus. It kills roughly 60%, has a case fatality rate of roughly 60%. So it's far more virulent than this virus, and yet it's less dangerous to the world at large because it simply doesn't have this this airborne very efficient transmission that that the coronavirus has. And it's still a mystery what animal it lives in, although now bats are strongly suspected as the reservoir host for Ebola also.
And some people say that the Ebola disease is so virulent and it kills people so rapidly that it prevents it from spreading into the general population. Because you want people who are the disease, would want people who are infectious spreading the disease, but the Ebola simply kills everybody. Well, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Our special guest is David Quammen, author of the book Spillover, Animal Infections and the Next Human Pandemic. Stay tuned.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to teamgaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's teamgaday.com with Longevity. Teamgaday.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing
leading energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is David Quammen. He's a journalist, a novelist, a naturalist. He works with National Geographic, and he's written a number of great books, including The Song of the Dodo, The Reluctant Mr. Darwin. His latest book is called The Tangled Tree, A Radical New History of Life. And in 2014, he published a book with the prophetic title, Spillover, Animal Infections and the Next Human Pandemic. Now, if you were to compare the flu virus to the coronavirus, there have been so many people making comparisons. A lot of the comparisons are misleading. But how would you stack it up? Because the flu virus is also quite dangerous. It kills thousands of people. How would you compare the coronavirus with the standard flu virus?
Well, in terms of the case fatality rate, in terms of the lethality, the average seasonal flu kills, I think, about 0.1% of the confirmed cases, 0.1%. This disease now is running at least 10 times, and in some cases 100 times, that level of lethality, depending on what country you're looking at. As I said, Italy now is suffering at about 13% case fatality rate, as opposed to 0.1%. So this virus is much, much more lethal than a flu virus. Flu does kill thousands of people, tens of thousands of people in an average year. That's true. It infects huge numbers, spreads across the planet. But this virus seems to have transmissibility, infectiousness, equivalent to an influenza, and yet a much, much higher case fatality rate. So we're just getting started with this, unfortunately, and we already have, I think, more than 40,000 fatalities in the U.S. Is that right? I think so. That's already worse than a bad influenza year for the U.S., and, of course, it's only the middle of April.
And also back in 1918, 100 years ago, we had the Spanish flu virus that killed more people than World War I. In fact, people think it actually affected the destiny of World War I. It actually infected President Woodrow Wilson. But then what happened? It disappeared. So the question is, why do these viruses eventually disappear? I mean, what happens without a vaccine?
Well, one of the things that happens is we've heard famously about herd immunity. And what we mean by herd immunity is that a virus moves through a population and it kills those people who are most susceptible. It infects many other people, but not everybody. And those who survive then have a resistance to it. And at a certain point, the virus burns out because there are not enough remaining susceptible people left for it to transmit from one to another. That's herd immunity. The flu viruses tend to disappear because the flus are always evolving and because there is this sort of herd immunity. But there's always a new flu virus coming out of wild aquatic birds that we have to deal with. The lethal virus of 1918, it was thought at one point that it was coming back. I think it was the 2009 virus that resembled it, but it turned out to be a much less lethal strain of it. Don't hold me on that 2009, but I know that it did come back during one of the influenza seasons, and it wasn't nearly as lethal to people as had been feared and as had been true back in 1918. The 1918 event was the biggest pandemic that had struck humanity, and now we have the next big one with COVID-19.
So are you saying basically that the Spanish flu virus of 1918 burnt out because we are the survivors, all of us have immunity to it? Is that the reason why it burnt out, because all the ones who didn't have immunity simply died?
Yes. Well, we don't necessarily all have immunity, but at a certain point, with herd immunity, a virus simply can't find enough susceptible people to keep the chain of transmission going. That's right.
So what are your predictions now about this virus, given the fact that a lot of people want to come out of lockdown? They want to, like, go to the beach. They want to live a normal life, but they don't have, we don't have a vaccine yet. So, well, let's take a short commercial break. But after the break, we're going to ask the question, what about this virus? How will it play out, given the fact that we've had previous viruses and we've had some experience, and it may take another over a year for a vaccine to come? Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135. And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Stay tuned.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow, I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is naturalist David Quammen, author of the book Spillover, Animal Infections and the Next Human Pandemic, which actually predicted the current pandemic. He wrote an op-ed article for the New York Times with the outrageous title, We Made the Coronavirus Epidemic. So the question is, how do you see this thing playing out, given the fact that we do have experience with infectious diseases? How do you see it playing out, given the fact that we do not yet have a vaccine?
Right. And as you say, we may not have a vaccine for another year or more. I think that this virus, Dr. Kaku, is going to be with us for the long term. I'm very concerned that there will be a second wave, as some scientists have warned us, if social distancing is eliminated soon and businesses are opened back up. I'm extremely sympathetic with the people who are stuck at home, unable to work, unable to earn money. It's getting difficult to buy groceries. I'm very, very sympathetic with that. But at the same time, I'm concerned that if we open things back up, there's no reason that this virus shouldn't resurge on us and kill another large wave of people. And that could go on. That sort of cycle could go on. It might not just be a second wave. There might be a third wave and a fourth wave until finally we have a vaccine and we can get a lot of people vaccinated. And then I don't think this virus is likely to disappear. We talked about the 1918 influenza, and that has evolved away or sort of disappeared, but never with the certainty that it won't come back. But there are other viruses that have become human viruses and have remained with us even though we have vaccines. And the most obvious example of that is measles. Measles can be a very serious virus, but most of us have had it or been vaccinated against it. It still exists on Earth. It can come back and hit unvaccinated populations. I think that this virus is probably going to stay with us in that way.
Now, humans are also encroaching upon the rainforests of the Amazon, cutting down enormous quantities of trees for development purposes. However, some people say that once again we're going to be encroaching upon the ancient grounds of animal diseases that may mutate and hop over to humans. So what are your thoughts about the fact that this process is continuing and in fact accelerating as we, quote, trespass on the ancient grounds of these diseases?
That's right, absolutely. And it's not just the Amazon, of course. It's the Congo Basin. It's our extremely diverse ecosystems in various parts of the world. Those very diverse ecosystems contain countless kinds of animals, plants, fungi, bacteria, etc. And all of those creatures contain their own viruses. In some cases, viruses that are unique to a given species of animal or to a cluster of related species, they have their viruses. And as we move into those diverse ecosystems and extract resources, timber and minerals, energy, wildlife for meat, we bring ourselves in contact with those viruses. So as that increases with a greater scale of human population and human consumption, these things are going to continue to keep spilling over into us, things that haven't even been named yet, things as as little known as Hendra virus in Australia and Nipah virus in Malaysia, things that most people haven't heard about, but that are lethal viruses that have gotten into human populations. We will see more of that as we continue to disrupt, invade, and extract from the natural world.
And bringing it home, some people think that the West Nile virus, which affected New York and other cities, the bird flu virus, the Marburg virus, and the list of the Hanta virus, and the Legionnaire's disease, perhaps all of them have an animal link. Is that right?
I can't speak about Legionnaire's disease. It's certainly possible. All the others that you mentioned, yes, absolutely. Marburg, West Nile, Hanta, absolutely. Hanta virus, the first outbreak in the U.S. that we became aware of was 1992 in the southwestern U.S., coming from rodents, getting into people, killing them. All of these viruses that are new to us have to come from somewhere. Everything comes from somewhere, and viruses that are new and dangerous to the human population come from wild animals.
Okay, so then what do we do about it, given the fact that this is not a new problem? People have noticed the fact that animal germs will hop over to humans. What do we do about it?
I'd say there are two basic things we need to do about it. First of all, we need to increase our scientific observation, our scientific surveillance, our discovery of new viruses, our research to locate the most dangerous viruses in the animals where they live, and have the technological and public health capacities to deal with spillovers when they occur, so the spillover of a new virus doesn't turn into an outbreak and the outbreak doesn't turn into an epidemic or a pandemic. We can do that with greater surveillance, greater public health capacity, greater preparedness. But the other thing we need to do is vitiate to some extent the level of our disruption of, extraction of, demands upon the natural world in terms of the choices we make. What we eat, how much meat we eat, how much we travel, how many children we have. All of those decisions put pressure on the natural world and bring us closer to the natural world's wildlife carrying these viruses. So I hope that this terrible pandemic will be a point of inflection for us in terms of making serious choices about how to reduce our disruption of the natural world.
Okay, well, once again, thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic.
Dr. Kaku, thank you very much. Pleasure to talk with you today, and I appreciate your interest.
Right, and once again, our special guest today has been David Quammen. His latest book is called The Tangled Tree, A Radical New History of Life. And 6 years ago, he wrote a book with the prophetic title, Spillover, Animal Infections and the Next Human Pandemic. And here he is, like Paul Revere, saying that, yes, it will happen again. It will happen because we are, in some sense, trespassing on the ancient terrain of animals, which carry animal diseases, which can mutate and hop over to you and me. Think about that.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.